Wow, you guys, I promised you that I was going to have another young man who is doing such great stuff with his life, and he's here. He's allowed me to learn so much about the power of possibility, about the power of not overthinking things and just taking the moment and running with it. He literally got on a flight to get to Nairobi from Canada and was like, why not? So this episode is genuinely a lot about why not. So why not? Why haven't you, jumped on that new entrepreneurship journey? Why haven't you decided to travel? Why haven't you decided to take someone out on a date or propose to them? Why haven't you decided to forgive a friend or ask for forgiveness? Why not? That's what this episode is all about. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the one and only Arpan Grover.
Wow, what an introduction. And I completely agree with everything you said about, you know, living in the moment and seizing every opportunity that comes in front of you and not overthinking it, you know, just taking everything for what it is and enjoying where you are at the moment, not thinking about the future, not thinking about the mistakes you made in the past.
Yeah.
And looking at what's possible and taking that opportunity. Yeah.
This is Unlock Your Soul with yours truly, Anthony, your soul. And I am with the youngest Mount Kilimanjaro hiker that I know, who, as usual, is always dropping gems. Arpan Grover, once again, welcome to Nairobi. Welcome to Nomad Cafe at 104 Riverside. Isn't this place beautiful?
It's amazing, yeah.
So, I mean, so before we get into, you know, like food and all those things you've experienced in Kenya, what do you like so far about this beautiful place owned by Emmanuel Jambo?
This, like, cafe specifically or Nairobi
this cafe,
in general?
This cafe, yeah.
I like how open it is.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like I'm sitting outside in a forest right now with fresh air and also the food.
Yeah.
Specifically the samosas.
Yeah.
You have to try the samosas here.
Yeah.
And they have this special powder that they put on everything.
Yeah.
Which just makes everything taste amazing.
I think it's
amazing.
Fenty makeup.
Yeah.
These guys are just Fenty makeup our food.
Some blush that they're putting in the food.
and then there's two girls. It's Shiro and Marcy.
Yeah.
Who are... Why you guys? You're afraid of me? Because I'm like, no. Don't say it. Too late, guys. So now...
Oh, man.
Did I say the wrong name?
It's Vali.
Vali, not Marcy. Shiro, Vali. Why are you called Vali? That's a very difficult name. Sounds like Dawayanini, ya kuumwa na kichwa. Vali, give me some Vali. So there's Shiro, Vali, and of course there's Ngena. And before you came here, they were all my best friends. And then you landed and they're now just betraying me. They want to go to Canada with you. Kenya is no longer safe. What?
I mean, Canada's the most beautiful place in the world.
Please,
so.
Now you're spoiling because now they'll really want to leave me. So those girls are still my very good friends. When you come here to Nomad, please come and ask for the girls. They're absolutely amazing people. And I genuinely love coming here. So you are in Kenya because you do not give no for an answer. A lot of people don't, you know, strong-minded people, personalities don't take no for an answer. You, on the other hand, you don't give no for an answer. How did you end up in Nairobi?
Yeah, it was a pretty serendipitous experience. So I was, during the summer, I was part of this program where it brought together 36 people, 36 young people specifically, within, like, either they had just graduated or are studying. And the summer program was a free space for them to explore their entrepreneurship ideas.
Yeah.
So it was a combination of some classes, but mainly it was just to bring these young people together to explore ideas.
Mm.
And near the end of the program, I became close friends with many of them.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my friends, part of that program's name was Zian, who is also on the podcast.
Yeah.
And he told me that he was coming to Nairobi.
Mm-hmm.
and that's why he couldn't come on a cabin trip that we were going to go to.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh, don't, like, delay your ticket, like, come to the cabin. I kept telling him. And then after a while, I asked, like, why are you going to Nairobi?
Yeah.
So then he explained this whole trip that he's doing with another one of his friends, Vedanshi, who is coming to Nairobi to set up safe spaces for women
mm-hmm.
Who are experiencing any sort of gender-based violence
yes.
or sexual harassment.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a program she runs in Canada and she wants to bring to Kenya.
Yeah.
So I heard about this, Jan told me, and this was a week before he was coming.
Yeah.
And
wow, it's actually that close.
It was, so he told me 2 weeks before
yeah.
and then I was just thinking, like, I didn't even think about joining on
yeah.
the trip
yeah.
until a week prior to the trip
yeah.
where we started talking about it again. And I was like, wow, it'd be like, I wish I could come with you. And
yeah.
he's like, yeah, I mean, you can.
Yeah.
And there's like,
yeah.
there's nothing stopping you from booking a flight and joining me.
Yeah.
And then that night, I booked my ticket to wow. come to Nairobi.
Wow.
Because I saw the opportunity. He told me about everything they're going to be doing here,
mm-hmm,
like
mm-hmm.
how the interesting people that he's going to be meeting and the different spaces that he's going to be visiting.
Yeah.
And it seemed like such an enriching opportunity
wow.
that I wouldn't be able to get in any other way if I hadn't met Zian.
Mm.
So I saw that. I didn't think about it too much because I had that free time because the program was ending. And I wanted to do a trip regardless.
Yeah.
So this seemed like the perfect kind of
yeah.
Series of events that led to me coming
yeah.
to Nairobi.
Have you always been that way? Sort of, you know, I mean, spontaneous and but also at the same time, thoughtful. Like,
mm-hmm.
why not? A lot of people are always like, why? Why should mm-hmm. I go? You know, like, you know, I mean, what if, let me Google first the country and how it looks like.
Yeah.
Let me, you know, I feel, you know, there's a lot of like, these guys have been having issues with the elections. I don't think
right.
I'll be safe. You are like, the opportunity has met, has you know, presented itself. So I'm going to meet opportunity mm-hmm. at its junction and find myself. But looking back or sort of looking at some of the choices that you've made, have you always mm-hmm. been like this?
No, that's a great point you brought up because I haven't always been like this. I know exactly where the turning point was
mm-hmm.
when I became so spontaneous and, you know, opportunity seeking.
So what happened?
So I was born with a medical condition called
mm-hmm.
bladder extrophy,
mm-hmm.
where that means my bladder didn't develop and
mm-hmm.
it was outside of my body when I was born.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a few surgeries at birth, which kind of fixed me up and made me functional for
mm-hmm.
Until 10th grade, so until
mm-hmm.
I was 13.
Mm-hmm.
But then I had to get a few more surgeries.
Okay.
And those were the toughest 3 years
oh,
of my life.
Gosh.
Going through all these surgeries and
yeah.
going through being in and out of the hospital.
Yeah.
I think I got maybe 5 or 6.
And also turning into a
surgeries.
Man, so to say.
Yeah,
as
exactly.
Because
I had to wait until puberty to get those surgeries.
Mm.
So until then, I was still struggling with a few things.
Yeah.
Until then. And then
yeah.
I got the surgery. But there was so many complications that came along with it.
Mm.
And it got to this point where I didn't even know if I was going to live
wow.
past these surgeries.
Wow.
Yeah, because after the first one, there was a point where I had a few tubes inside of me.
Mm.
And those tubes kept getting blocked.
Mm.
And every time they would get blocked, there would be more and more build up in my kidneys with like bladder stones
yeah.
and kidney stones and
the poison in
debris.
Your body
yeah because of the surgery not going as planned.
Yeah.
So there was a point where my kidneys got so full of fluid where they were about to burst.
Wow.
And I was in so much pain and I literally felt like I wasn't going past that. This is it, my life is finished. But I'm here, so I did get through it.
Yeah.
But going through that, and not just once, like
mm-hmm.
a few times.
Yeah.
Like made me really appreciate
of your
yeah.
like childhood, literally.
Yeah. And then it really made me appreciate, like, after coming out of that and
yeah.
being at a bit of a steady state of
yeah.
like, okay, I don't have to go to the hospital every
yeah.
week. I don't have to take all this medication and kind of being comfortable.
Yeah.
It really made me appreciate life.
Yeah.
Life a lot more
yeah.
Coming out of that. And I, since then, it's like, I don't know if I'm gonna like be alive in a year.
Yeah.
So why think about it so much? Like, why think about things 5-10 years in advance
mm.
where the uncertainty of what's going to happen in even a month is so high. It's like a waste of energy almost.
Yeah, so it's the beauty of living in the moment and really living the moment. Mm-hmm. I mean, not just saying it, but like really living it. I mean that you'll take what would look like drastic decisions to other people.
Exactly.
But it looks normal to you. It's like, what? Why would you do that? And you're like, why not? I mean, what stops you from that? So I think, I mean, that's it's interesting to know that. Mm-hmm. So how do you feel now that you're in Kenya? How does it, has it so, you know, sort of ticked off some of the boxes or things you thought, like maybe, I know you've gone to the park, you know, you've seen the matatus, have some of those, you know, like excitement moments, have they been fulfilled?
Yeah, definitely. My short time here, I've only been here for 2 weeks and I'm leaving back to Canada tonight. But I feel like I've done so much and I've learned so much just from being here. The first week that I was here, it was a lot of the volunteering with the organization, the one I had mentioned previously.
Yes.
And we were going to a lot of the like the slums, places where there was not the best resources for people. Seeing that side of Kenya, and then also seeing the affluent side of Nairobi as well, where there's these like really nice apartment buildings, and nice bars and restaurants,
and like and really cafes. Nice,
really really nice, like nicer than anything I've seen in Canada. So seeing the divide there, that was really interesting and a bit eye opening because when you hear of Kenya in Canada or when you hear of East Africa, the only side you really see is the slums. You don't see the
affluent,
well off people that are you know living a great rich life. So actually coming here and seeing those people, meeting those people, it was quite eye opening.
But also, how has it made you sort of appreciate your life more now that you've seen? I mean, when you know, when they always say in my tribe, we say, he who doesn't travel thinks it's his mother who cooks the best.
Right.
And I'm always saying that to people. I mean, I know you've had me say it before.
And
I'm always saying it because I feel like people, it's an opportunity for us to realize the world out there is humongous. And there's so many things, good and bad, happening that make you realize, oh my God, I should stop complaining about small things. Like, there's no electricity for 2 hours. There's people who do not have electricity. So has it made you appreciate your life more?
I mean, every time I travel anywhere, even if it's to like rich areas or poor areas, it just makes me appreciate the fact that I can travel. Because every time I talk to people here, and I say I'm from Canada, there's like a light that goes off in there, and they like have so many questions.
Wow,
Canada, where, like, how is it there? What's it like?
Just
like,
be friends,
because they just they have no ability to even visit and see. Because and I have this privilege that I can actually just travel everywhere and see all these different places, and I don't have to live in this wonder. But that was especially eye-opening here when I was going even to the areas that were more affluent. Even they don't have the ability to travel because of visa issues or, things like that. But especially going to the slums and going to the less resourced areas. Those, seeing the kids there and seeing how kind of enamored they were by me. That was a bit weird too.
But also, and also you see from them, you sort of see the, like a sort of a need from them to want to have that opportunity to travel. Because I remember when I met you, the first thing I told you was, I mean, from without thinking about it from a deep point of view, I was like, you're from Canada. Yeah, your passport, your visa. Because the first thing I told you was like, your passport is strong. Use it and travel. Because I've wanted to go to places where I have had to fight tooth and nail to get a visa. And I'm imagining if you having a strong passport, then why not do it? And sometimes, I mean, you can feel the kids are really enamored by who you are as a person. But it's also for them seeing that freedom that somebody can leave their country and go travel and see other people and experience other livelihoods. Because the thing about kids, when you're poor, I'm not saying it's the general truth, but when you're poor, you don't really know you're poor as a kid until you get older. You realize, oh my God, we're really poor. As kids, it's vibes and inshallah, you're enjoying life.
Exactly.
So life is, you know, I'm glad that you're a kid who's been able to, you know, to get out of your being a child who's privileged from Canada, even if you don't necessarily come from a rich country, from a rich home, beg your pardon, but you're just like, you know what, I want to do something different with myself.
Yeah.
Have your parents played a role in the way that you view life, in the way that you, you know, look at life and how you approach life?
Yeah. Hearing a lot of the stories, especially from my dad, seeing how he's lived life, he has had a crazy, spontaneous life as well. So seeing that, you know, he's done all this and gotten to a point where he's comfortable and very fulfilled with how he's lived, that's influenced me a lot. But also the encouragement from both my parents of doing what I want, but also being thoughtful about what I'm doing. Because whenever I bring up an idea to them, so even I always tell them what I'm doing. I'm just like, I'm going to Nairobi. First reaction is, no, that's dangerous. Don't do it.
The first reaction is protecting.
Which makes sense. But then, you know, we had a discussion about it and they were asking, why are you doing this? So I like how they really encouraged me to think about why I'm doing what I'm doing all the time. And being intentional about, you know, if I'm traveling, if I'm spending money, if I'm, you know, using up my time. Like making sure that it's enriching my life in some way. And really making me think about why I'm doing what I'm doing. Even though it seems like I'm not thinking about it and just doing things as they come and just being spontaneous.
That's powerful.
But it is, very thoughtful. Why I'm doing what
I'm doing. It's powerful because when if you ask your kid brother or kid sister, why are you going to see your friends? Oh no, we're just going to play PS. I mean, if you really think about it, if you are, you know, sometimes when we think parents are like strict or whatever, but they're really making you really ask yourself why.
Yeah.
It's a very simple question. And it's one of the things that I have grappled with in terms of like when I meet younger people or when I want to be a part of a project or want to embark on a new journey, one of the most important things I ask people is why?
Why?
Why are you doing the podcast? Why are you, why do you have to go for the meeting? It can be a text. It can be an, you know, I mean, the why is really powerful and thoughtful. And speaking of why, and also your parents, you're, you know why you have a laughter there in the background. It's because you come to Kenya, and then you're meant to be here for like what, two weeks?
About 3 weeks.
Two and a half weeks. But then after you've done the good deeds, you've gone and you know, I mean, the work that Vedanshi and is doing is phenomenal.
Listen to her podcast.
Please, guys, if this is the first one you're listening to, go back to the one before this. You then decide after you've done your good stuff, you've connected with the people, you have, you know, learned about yourself, about other people, about our culture. And I find you very respectable, to be honest, very respectful. And the way you also handle our culture, I find you to be very respectful. So it always begs me to ask, are you 74 or 72? Like peak between those ages, because this respect you have, it's older people have these behaviors. I digress. You then decide that I am now going to hike Mount Kilimanjaro. Not Ngong Hills. Not Mount Longonot. Not Mount Kenya. No. I am going to hike the beast of them all. First, tell me the exact moment, if you can remember, where you were when this thought crossed your mind and you were like, Kilimanjaro! Please, I just want to know. Because guys, this guy, I'm chilling with him. Me, him, Zian, Vedanshi, another lady who I met also that night called Tash. We're at NSK. We're about to get crushed.
Yeah.
A party. And then this guy randomly pops up. Oh, by the way, I'm going to Kilimanjaro.
Tomorrow.
I'm like, so I want to know, how did this happen? And you were so serious about it. It wasn't like, I'm told, you know somebody, can I get a tour van? No, you did. Please explain to us how it came about, and then how you planned it.
From the beginning. So, I mean, I'm a big hiker. I hike a lot in Canada. I hike wherever I go. Doing Kilimanjaro has always been on my list of things to do. I didn't expect to do it this trip, though.
Yeah.
So when I was planning my trip to East Africa, I was like, okay, I'm going to be so close to Kilimanjaro. but I won't have enough time because I'm going to be busy with the volunteering. So then I didn't think about it after that.
Wow.
I was telling my friends in Canada as well, like, I'm not going to do it this time, but next time we'll do it. So then ended up arriving, did the, you know, a week and a half, 2 weeks of of volunteering with Vedanshi and Bolt Safety. And then we ended up going on a safari to Masai Mara.
Yeah.
And that trip, I saw so much of the nature there. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I saw the mountains in the distance.
Yeah.
And something inside of me was like, I have to do this. Like, there's no question about, like, needing, like I want to do this.
It has to happen.
It has to happen. And the whole week, because we were getting driven around everywhere, I didn't get to walk a lot. Mm. So my legs were, like, craving to do some sort of walking or hiking or something. So my first thought was, okay, I'll try to find some local hikes around Nairobi. I saw Mount Kenya.
Please, Arpan, stop lying to people here. You and I planned with a friend of mine how you're going to do small hikes, small hikes by the hills. And then you come back. Anyway, continuing.
Yeah.
You planned small hikes.
those small hikes, they weren't
your brain was like,
me.
No.
I was like, I'd rather just sit at home than do these hikes that Anto's telling me to do.
Like, because you know, for me, I was behaving like a host. No, you shouldn't do anything big. If anything happens to him.
Yeah, I asked Anto for some hiking recommendations.
Did you see my text?
He tells me to go to some park.
Like, I was like, guys, do Karura.
No.
Which, by the way, is not a hike.
It's not
a walk. I was like, just do Karura Forest.
Yeah.
You can do Uhuru Park. And then if you really, really do this, Dungong Hills. And this guy is like, okay, that sounds boring.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And then we were driving back from the safari.
Yeah.
It's late. Like,
which also was strenuous. It wasn't like an easy walk in the park thing. Yeah, it was waking up early in the morning.
Yeah, we left at 1 a.m.
and
arrived there at sunrise.
Yeah.
And then came back. So we're driving back at 11 p.m. I'm sleep deprived.
Yeah.
My phone's at 5% charge. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at all the information about Kilimanjaro.
Wow.
And how many days I need and how much, what do I need to prep to do this?
Yeah.
And everyone was saying, you need 6 days, you need 7 days. You need to practice and there's high altitude. And then I was looking at it, I was like, how hard could it be?
Yeah.
So then I reached home, but at this point it was too late to call any of the tour guide people in Tanzania.
Yeah.
So then I barely slept that night because I was so excited.
Wow.
So then I woke up, I set an alarm for 8 a.m. because that's when the tour companies opened.
Mm.
I woke up and Zian knows this. He was in the bed beside me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started calling people and Zian woke up and he was angry at me.
This early, like.
So from 8 to 12, I called pretty much every tour provider in Tanzania.
Yeah.
And only one had availability to do the trip for me in 2 days.
Wow.
Because the next day I had to leave Nairobi to start the day after.
Mm-hmm.
And I also didn't have any gear. So I had just come to Nairobi with a backpack, some clothes, some like day clothes, or some t-shirts and pants.
Yeah.
So I didn't have any of this hiking gear that's required for hiking Kilimanjaro.
Yeah.
But I wasn't even thinking about that. I thought I could just do it with the stuff I had. So when I arrived there, I took a shuttle from Nairobi to Arusha, which is the city where I was meeting the tour company.
Yeah.
And the tour guide comes and he looks at my backpack and then he's like, where's your stuff?
Everybody. By the way, guys, everybody who meets Arpan is like, So have you forgotten anything? I wish you guys, my video guys, I have traveled. So I wish this was on video because we would have shown you what we exactly mean. Because you know me, I'll pull the receipts. So it's basically a normal backpack.
So if you know backpack sizes, it's 30 liters. No, no.
Yeah.
No. It's 26 liters.
Like a school, like a school backpack. Like a school bag where you put a few folders inside, maybe maybe a football deflated or something, and you go to school and do your thing.
Yeah.
Before we get into why you travel the way you travel, I'm starting to learn a couple of things from you, because there's this statement we like to use, the mountains we carry. Well, you have started to put them down and literally hike, you know, and go over this and challenge these mountains. We carry a lot of mountains as we go along. So this guy meets you and to basically mean that even when as you're deciding to hike Mount Kilimanjaro, people who tour guide others on the mountain, they come with a lot of baggage. Not necessarily to mean that they're not the best hikers, but also mean that you're so intentional about what you're carrying, because the goal for you is not what you carry, is where you're going. And that's one of the things I've learned about you. Sometimes you're quite soft-spoken, you're quiet by the corner there when Zian and I are making all the fun and just laughing and being nonsensical. But when you speak, I feel like you have always put down your burden. So a lot of your burdens, that is. So when you, when he asks you, is this all the luggage, explain to us the symbolism, or really the this importance as to why you do not carry a lot of baggage or luggage when you travel, regardless of whether you're hiking or you're just traveling.
You know, until this trip, I haven't really given it so much deep thought. Like, oh, I just travel light. But because you and Zian keep bringing it up.
Until you met me then, I was like, no, you're and a deep person.
Everyone keeps...
You're a wise old man.
Everyone keeps bringing it up. They're like, oh, that's it. You just have a bag. I'm like, yeah, that's it. That's all the stuff I need. Like, what else?
Even today,
what else would I need?
Even today when you, when you're putting your stuff in my car, I mean, naturally, I was like, is there a most? I do want to ask you, but I was like, I know he travels like this, but no, I'm still but in shock.
I genuinely don't think I need any more things, because it would just, it would just clutter my life. And it's, you know that saying where it's like, if you make your bed in the morning, or if your room is clean, then your day will be better. So that's the same way I approach the, with the backpack. You know, the less things I have, the less clutter I have in my life, the less I have to think about. If I'm carrying around a expensive Gucci belt with me, that's gonna take up space in my mind.
Oh my god, if somebody
someone's gonna steal
me,
or if I'm carrying a lot of money or cash with me, that's gonna keep, take more space in my mind. If I'm carrying expensive clothes,
and you're constantly flustered, because I mean, you carry things, it's like, oh my god, I what did I leave in my bag? You go to a restaurant, please put my bag on. I wanna see it from here when I can sit down. You become flustered.
So the way I do everything in life is to reduce the mental load that I have. So one of the things that's reducing my mental load is just having less things to worry about. Including, you know, a small backpack. But also having a small backpack challenges me to really think about what I need and what I don't need.
How old are you really?
I'm 24.
I not mean that young people don't think like this, but I'm still... I know we've spoken about your background, the why in your life, you know, I mean, your parents. But how do you get a 24-year-old to be like this? And I know everything you've gone through. Now we do. I mean, I didn't know before. Now we all do. I think instead of asking you how, I should basically say that it's very commendable how you approach life. It's, and it's funny because the last 3 weeks, from Zian to Vedanshi to you, I really generally keep thinking that Gen Z, you know, you guys, we're in safe hands with you guys.
Wow. That's really nice.
Yeah. Because the things you guys think without, or think and say or act out without having to worry about what people will think about you, are very commendable. So I hope that you never change, and you're really teaching us about this luggage we carry, the baggage we carry, and how sometimes we just let it go, and how we really need to declutter our minds. It's very interesting. So based off of that, and why you travel the way that you travel, and thank you for, now you'll make people start, now you are gonna cause a dip in stock market for bags. They're gonna be like, let me throw my bag, I don't need this garbage.
Think about it Think about what you need and what you don't need. There's this exercise actually that one of, I learned about it like first year of university, so it's like six years ago or something. One of my friends was doing it, where she went through her closet and looked at every piece of her clothing and thought about how it made her feel. And if it didn't evoke a good feeling in her or like any sort of feeling of that she really likes this, she would give it away or give it to like the thrift store.
No
or something.
Matter how good it looks
yeah,
like.
So after doing that exercise with her, I was in the room while she was doing it.
Yeah.
She cut down like 70% of her wardrobe.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. So then I did the same thing.
Wow.
And also cut down so much of my wardrobe doing that.
Yeah.
And it was so interesting because there were so many clothes which I had in my closet which I had, you know, forgotten about.
Exactly.
And doing that also made me remember the clothes that I really liked as well.
Mm.
So I'm taking that and I guess extrapolating it to other aspects of your life as well.
Yeah.
Like not clothes is just one thing.
It's interesting because I've been trying to like do that also. And then I realized that we always end up buying more stuff.
Yeah.
We make space for more.
Mm.
And it's generally really like I'm a maximalist. I don't think I'm a minimalist.
Mm.
But like for my living room, you know, with artwork and all those things.
Right.
But like with clothes and stuff, I mean, when you look at it and you really ask yourself, do I need all these clothes?
Yeah.
I mean, even if you didn't even have a formula, is it worth it?
It's
too much. Sometimes too much is too much, you know? So
yeah. And it's not just with clothes, it's with like with anything in your life.
Yeah.
Where let's say you're like Anto's doing this podcast.
Yeah.
Is this something he really enjoys?
Mm.
And making space for that in your life.
Yeah.
Or there's like another thing that you're working on.
Exactly.
Which is taking away from maybe the podcast that you really enjoy.
Yeah.
So you really have to find that balance and find out what is cluttering your life and what is actually enriching your life.
Mm. Yeah. I mean that's interesting. But also on the flip side, it would be nice for us to talk about the being uncomfortable.
Mm.
No, being comfortable.
Being comfortable, okay.
In being uncomfortable.
I see.
In that, in certain scenarios, for example, when maybe it is, yes, until you're doing a podcast, yes, Arpan, you love hiking, but you're trying to understand this whole, you know, software. I mean, you're a software engineer. You right. can do all those things and stuff. But like maybe you want to learn more about, let's say, marketing or something, and you feel like it needs forces you to go back to school.
Mm.
What is your view on being comfortable in the uncomfortable?
Mm. Yeah, even going on this trip to Kilimanjaro, I went alone. And that's the thing that was causing the most discomfort during the trip. I wasn't too worried about the actual hiking, the actual climbing the mountain. It was more so doing it alone and with people that I didn't know and a tour company that I just found on
maybe
WhatsApp.
Maybe these guys will
like maybe they'll mug me,
kidnap
maybe
you,
steal all my things and run away. I'm going to this random city in Tanzania.
By the way, you see why I don't do things like this? Because I'm an overthinker.
Yeah.
I never thought about it, but until you get to Arusha, and then these guys decide, we're going to kidnap this dude.
And funny story, actually, I found out the reason they had space to take me on the hike was because they hadn't been operational for the past 3 months. Because
I'm like, bye.
Because
me, I'm going back to Kenya.
No, hear this. Because the guy who started the company got electrocuted by lightning and died on the hike. So since then, they haven't done any tours.
Bye.
But I didn't find this out until the last day of the hike.
When we are on the hike.
Yeah, as we were coming down, my tour guide was like, funny story. I haven't done this in 3 months.
Oh my
goodness. I was like,
goodness.
Are you serious?
Like,
but,
no?
But they were really good still. They were still a very good tour company.
So what is the name of the tour company?
They're called Everlasting Tanzania.
Wow.
Highly recommend.
Yeah, but yeah. I feel like they need to drop that name, Everlasting.
Everlasting, yeah.
Because, nothing lasts forever. And also, nobody lasts forever.
No,
and then also, maybe they should call themselves Radi, or Lightning.
Lightning, yeah.
Because I mean,
sorry, coming back to the living in an uncertainty. Being comfortable in the uncomfortable.
Yeah.
That is, it's challenging because naturally being uncomfortable is you're overthinking about all these different things. So you have to, at least the way I approach it is if I notice myself overthinking about things that are making me uncomfortable, I'll stop thinking about it.
Mm.
Like, I literally just stop. It's better to not think about it and let it, you know, take a toll on your brain.
Yeah.
Rather than think about all the things that could go wrong. Mm. Because there's always so many things that can go wrong.
Yeah,
even
true.
Even when you're comfortable.
Yeah.
In comfortable settings.
Yeah.
If you start overthinking, like, I could think about so many things right now. Of, like,
yeah, that could happen wrong. That
someone
could go wrong.
Could
yeah.
have poisoned my drink.
Yeah, so that's true.
I could, I don't know.
There could be a flood. I mean, on a hill.
Yeah.
One, like, on a valley. There could
be. There could be a lion that
yeah.
comes and eats
yeah.
me. There's, like, unlimited possibilities
yeah.
In any situation.
Yeah.
So, going into uncomfortable situations,
mm-hmm.
rather than thinking about all the things that can go wrong,
yeah.
I just don't think about... I'll consider them,
yeah.
but I won't
dwell in them.
Yeah, exactly. I won't dwell in them.
Yeah.
And if it's things that I can't solve in the moment,
exactly.
Then I won't think about it.
Exactly.
If it's something like, maybe this company isn't legit, or maybe they'll
swindle
mug me.
Yeah.
I'll do a little bit of research, figure out, see if they have any good reviews. But
exactly.
besides that, I won't keep thinking about it.
Exactly.
Beyond that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's easy to say, but difficult to do.
It's very difficult. It's
yeah,
for like overthinkers like ourselves,
exactly.
where, you know, people who end up doing like our own projects, we really
mm-hmm.
end up feeling like, I want to scrutinize every situation.
Exactly.
Every email, what was the tone behind it?
Mm-hmm.
What did the person mean? Every small interaction, what would that person have meant? And but it also takes away from the joy of living.
It takes away from the moment.
Oh my God, it's from the joy of living. Apart from these mosquitoes.
Yeah.
These ones are real. I'm not overthinking them. They're all over us. Yeah.
Mosquitoes are one thing.
Yeah, you cannot forget about them.
Yeah.
We've got a couple of things to cover as you
yes.
get ready for your flight tonight. And by the way, I really hope that you have a safe flight. You know, I can't wait to talk to you once you get to Canada. But
let's not overthink it.
Yeah. You know, I can't wait. Yeah. I cannot wait.
Yeah.
You realize I kept WhatsApping you. Are you okay?
Yeah.
I don't think I was asking you how are you. It was always, are you okay? Because I was always
saying, are you alive?
Are you alive? Because I was like, this dude, he's gone to Mount Kilimanjaro. You know, I thought the first thing you'd be like, so guys, I don't know about like Arusha. Should I talk to someone about getting a line from there?
Mm-hmm.
You were just like, I'm going to go there. Me, I would have Googled, how did you get a SIM card? Can I buy the airtime before I leave?
I didn't get any airtime.
You did not even care. You were just like,
no.
I'll find a way to get you guys.
Yeah.
And you did.
There's always a way.
There's always a way.
And when I reached there, me not having any of the stuff, I was able to rent it when I reached there.
Yeah.
Because there was... The guy who picked me up, he said, this is all the stuff you need.
Yeah.
And... it's going to be this much and you can rent it. And I'm like, okay.
Oh, let's do it. I won't not have the, you know, the experience.
Exactly.
Because I didn't have my own stuff.
And I also didn't know exactly what I needed. So then the guy helped
That's
me.
A nice lesson in just being available.
Exactly.
Just be available.
Yeah.
It's, obedience is better than sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you obey your gut, obey your principle, your value system, obey your ikigai, and then... let other things flow. The last two things I want us to focus on is when you got to Nairobi, got to Kenya, it's your first time in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
But what are some of the things that you've seen that are completely like mind-blowing? For example, the way we drive, like today.
Yeah.
By the way, thank God I didn't show you my side of driving. I think I was just being like, hey, let me behave. You know, I don't want this guy to judge me. What have you realized about the way we drive? What have you realized?
There's no rules. there's nothing. Nothing stopping people from cutting you off. Or, making new lanes on the road.
Yeah.
Taking a two lane road, Nick turning into a four lane.
Four lane road. And,
driving
with CCTV. We don't care.
Yeah.
Because you told me today, but until there's like a CCTV, I'm like, Arpan, that has never stopped anybody from doing anything.
And then... but one thing I did notice when I get here,
there's
the driving is very chaotic
yeah.
in that sense.
Yeah.
But very few people actually get mad.
Yeah,
it's like everyone's just very chill.
Yeah,
and they're like, oh, it's fine.
Even
like,
the guy who cut us off today.
Exactly, it's fine. Like,
yeah, I told you, like,
cut you off. No, like, one, very little honking as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've been to India a few times. My family's from there.
Yeah,
and everyone gets so angry there when you get cut off.
Yeah,
honking. It's just constant, like.
Yeah, here it's more here, of like. I think
chaotic,
the thing is they,
no one honks.
They try to cut you by proving a point that I can cut you. And then you're like, okay, so you've done it.
Yeah.
And then like the guy today, he put on the hazard to just say thanks.
Yeah, yeah.
And me, I'm like, bro, you're thanking me for doing the bad thing. Me, I just let you go into harm's way. Like if the cop sees you, I am not there. I'm not gonna compete with you.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna do it. Have you been on a matatu or seen our matatus and how they look like? Did you like them and how colorful they are?
I haven't been on one, but I've seen them.
Yeah, but I mean, how would you be on one when you're busy hiking Mount Kilimanjaro?
Exactly. I'm using my legs. I'm not on.
I imagine. Food? Have you experienced our food?
Yeah, I went
apart from the intercontinental sort of type of food.
No, I went continental to a dishes. Restaurant called
Kilimanjaro.
Yeah.
that, oh, guys, funny story.
It's Kilimanjaro.
So we're in Guinea from Nomad. Yeah. And then I'm doing like, I'm prepping for the show. And I ask Arpan, so we're going to talk about Kilimanjaro and hiking in general. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, could you guys be a little bit more specific? She's like helping us with our show notes. She's like, could you guys be a little bit more specific? And then this friend of mine is actually like, yeah, let's be a little bit more specific. I'm like, but you all know I'm talking about Kilimanjaro. And turns out he's been to the restaurant. So he did have a point when he said, yeah, be a little bit more specific. So... So you have tried some Mali food. How was it? How was the experience?
Oh, it was
and
amazing.
The portions.
The portions were too much. We went in there and the server comes and he's like, oh, we'll do the platter. Four people, platter's perfect. And I was like, sure, let's do the platter.
Yeah.
And Zian was like, no, let's look at the menu. And I'm like, why? Let's just get the platter.
The guy who runs his place is like, do your platter. So
it's gonna be fresh. It's going to be good. Man, the food comes.
Yeah.
Between four people, we couldn't finish
it. It's a lot.
Yeah, and I was hungry. I hadn't eaten all day. We had just come from the Kibera.
Yeah.
We were out all day.
Yeah.
Doing workshops and filming and all that. So we hadn't eaten all day. All four of us.
And then somebody comes and they're like...
And we have a big platter and we still couldn't finish it.
Wow.
But it was delicious. We got like four different types of meat, rice, biryani, chapati, all that.
I love it.
I'm surprised how Indian inspired the food is though. So it's
even things like chai, even the way we say chai, you know what I mean? It's Indian. Even with a word like harambe, which means to bring people together, is borrowed from
dawa.
Yeah, dawa is borrowed from Hindi. Is it Hindi or Hindu culture?
Hindi.
So there's a lot of that. Also, there's a community of the Hindi in Kenya, and I mean not to mean that they're outsiders, but they are actually regarded in the constitution as one of the tribes in Kenya. So they're not like Hindi Kenyans. No, they're just Kenyan. That's how they are. That's so you're very welcome here.
Yeah.
As we conclude, tell us about what you think about the people of this great nation, how they've made you feel, what you've learned about the people and our zeal and just you know, the commonality of being humans. Mm-hmm. What's that meant for you and how you think you're taking those lessons with you and how you hope, you know, that the way you've interacted with us has made you into a certain type of person.
Man, everything about being in Kenya has been so nice because everyone's so welcoming here.
Yeah.
And so when I arrived here, it felt like I was being welcomed into a big house where everyone was my family.
Yes.
Everyone I talked to would treat me like a brother like a really close friend that they've known for a really long time, making jokes and just being so comfortable around me, which I don't really get that in Canada, especially in Vancouver, the city I'm from.
Yeah.
Everyone's very reserved.
Yeah.
And until they don't really get to know you, they won't open up.
Mm.
Here, everyone's so free-spirited.
Yeah, which is what you get.
Yeah, and I love it so much. Yeah. And I feel like it's made me more like that as well.
Mm.
You know, living in a city where everyone's pretty reserved, it makes you reserved too.
Yeah,
and
when I met you
closed off.
On the first day that we met, someone would have thought you, Zian, and me were like we've schooled or studied together.
Yeah.
Because we were making fun. Like we were exactly. enjoying ourselves yeah. at that restaurant we met at Lava. So yeah. it's a thing. I feel like we all have our... Everybody has a negative. Everybody has a bad day. But like we're very open to just also making friendships because we believe... And I think it's a very African thing. Mm-hmm. When you meet people, you just never know what they could mean to you. Yeah. So just be kind, be nice.
And people making time for you.
Yeah.
I feel like in... I'm very used to people setting like, oh, we have 30 minutes to meet.
Yeah.
Or we have 10 minutes to yeah. meet. And yeah. it seems like their time is more valuable than yours.
Mm.
Here I felt that people are just willing... more willing to make time for you
mm.
and really hear your stories,
mm-hmm.
hear what you're all about,
mm-hmm.
and in a very genuine way, not yeah. being like, oh, you're just here from Canada.
Exactly. Yeah. What can I get out of you?
Yeah. What yeah. can I get it? It's not like that. It's like yeah. we want to talk to you and get to
yeah.
know you.
Yeah.
And we will make time for you.
Even when Kenyans are like late, including me today because of traffic.
But
even when we're late by like 2 hours, mm-hmm. we have a way of making visitors feel like, no, don't worry. Now, in fact, I have more time with you. You're mm-hmm. thinking. What? You've been late for 2 hours? And I'm like, no, don't worry. I have enough time with you. Like, it's you know, I got yep. all the time. So it's a really nice, yeah. I'm glad that you've really been able to capture the essence of who we are as a people. Mm-hmm. As you go back to Canada, what should we expect from you from a software engineering point of view, from a philanthropy point of view, from, right. you know, should we expect you back in Nairobi? And yeah, what's the plan with the future for Mr. Arpan?
I'm working on a few projects
yeah.
on the engineering side. So
yeah.
Let's keep, you know, stay tuned.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I wish life brings me back to Nairobi, but
yeah.
I won't count on it. But I will... if I ever get the chance to come back to Nairobi, I will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because yeah.
I love it so much. I
would love
it's
to see you back.
City.
Love to see you back in Nairobi. Yeah. Thank you for, you know, I mean, this podcast is happening because of your power of saying yes. So thank you for, yeah. Thank
yeah,
you
these mosquitoes.
These mosquitoes, I don't know why they love you this much. I think they don't want you to leave.
Exactly.
It's like, don't like, go. Get, they probably
get,
want...
Get malaria and end
yeah,
up in
then
the
you
hospital.
Stay.
Yeah.
That's actually true. It's like, let's get him sick
yeah.
so he can stay. So thank you for all being right. open enough to travel and to see Kenya.
Yeah.
And I hope that we, thanks to your story, that we can be able to put down a lot of these mountains that we place upon ourselves. So we thank you for that. It's been an absolutely amazing, amazing episode with one and only Arpan Grover. And I hope that as you rover through life, that you will find that there are so many things you could say yes to. Because why not?
Right.
Why not start hike something today? Why not hike a huge task that you've been fearing to do? Why not hike a relationship that you feel like it's on the verge of collapse? Why not hike an opportunity that you feel like you completely miss out on? So just do it. It's Anthony, Your Soul, Unlock Your Soul. Make sure you follow us on social media at Unlock Your Soul Podcast on TikTok, on Instagram, on every platform you can think of. It's Unlock Your Soul Podcast. You can also Gmail us at unlockyoursoulpodcast@gmail.com. And yeah, keep unlocking your soul. This is the platform where we scratch beneath the surface to find out what really makes us human. Until next week, adios, amigos.
Thank you for having me and thank you for taking the time to listen to my story.
Adios, muchachos.
Adios.
Say something like in another language for goodbye.
Shukriya.
Your parents
yeah,
right now are wondering. That's all he knows. By the way, that's close.
My Hindi is very bad.
That's close to Swahili. We say shukran.
Oh, really?
We say shukriya. What does shukriya mean?
Shukriya is thank you.
We say yeah. shukran.
Shukriya and...
Shukran is thank you for.
Shukran.
Yeah, shukran. So, one more time.
Shukriya.
Shukran. 'm not letting you go because I've just learned something new today.
Yeah.
You don't say, don't worry guys about the noise. Don't worry. There's someone, we're about to enjoy some plantain. You say that in Hindi, we don't say goodbye.
It's not common to say goodbye. That's why I don't know
how
you say goodbye in Hindi because it's very rare for someone to say goodbye when someone leaves. It's always thank you or, you know, come again. Or
see you later again. See you again.
Yeah, see you again. Like, it's always just thanks for coming. Like,
wow.
Thanks for enlightening us with your presence, essentially.
That is beautiful.
Yeah, like, there's no goodbyes. Because we're all, you know, interconnected.
That's beautiful. Yeah. So, I think all I can say is, tuonane tena, which means we will see each other again.
We'll see each other. Tuonane.
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 Tena.
Tena.
Asante.
Asante.
Shukran.